Hello and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I am rejoined by Britt.
Hello, we're back, baby.
We're back, baby. We have fallouten some more. If you've missed last week's episode, we are continuing talking about Mission Impossible Fallout, the Mission Impossible movie that made me fall in love with Tom Cruise.
Objectively, best Fallout so far.
Objectively, like, I don't think anyone can argue that it's not the best. Like, 4 has some incredible stunts, and a lot of them have really incredible stunts, but yeah, this everything in this movie is just really good. So where we left off, we had a little thing with Solomon Lane and Ilsa Faust, and we sort of work out where everyone is in what they're up to kind of thing. Ilsa, her job is to kill Solomon Lane, and she will go through Ethan Hunt if she has to, and Solomon Lane is basically being all like cocky, hates Ethan, and yeah, is now in Ethan's hands. So we left off where they just had gone to London, so we shall continue there. So yeah, there's a little, I said in the last one, there was a little dream sequence with Julia and Solomon Lane. Ethan wakes up in the back of a van in there in London, and he gets a phone call from the White Widow saying, "Are you in London? Okay, we're going to meet you for the exchange at this time." So they go to like an underground kind of basement thing.
With Stella.
They're obviously going to get everything ready for the swap of Lane, which they are going to make Benji wear a mask, and for the plutonium, because they obviously don't want Lane free. At one point he mentions Ilsa is trying to kill them, and he's like, "Ilsa's going to kill me." And he's like, "No, she won't."
We can't anything
though? Yeah, so as they're going in there, they're actually confronted by Hunley, the boss of the IMF, who is like, sees them all walk in with Solomon Lane, is like, "Oh my god, are you kidding me?" He's basically there to stop it all because the CIA have intelligence that they believe that Ethan Hunt may actually be John Lark. And if Hunley takes Ethan in and shuts down the mission, the IMF won't be disbanded, I guess. Because the IMF doesn't actually get disbanded in this movie, which I think is different from every single other movie.
Yeah, they actually have job security this year.
Yeah. They're not just immediately disavowed and have to scrap like pieces of paper together to create, you know, a bomb or whatever. Ethan is trying to, you know, reason his way out of this. And he's like, "How could they think that it's me? And where did the CIA get this information?" They keep cutting to Walker, who's kind of got like this really serious expression. So, you know, furthering that, hang on a minute, is this guy the bad guy?
While this is happening, they've like put Lane in a second room and tied him up and tranquilized him.
Yes.
They put the little gun on the table.
Oh, they did too, yes. Oh, foreshadowing. They like that in these movies. Hunley tells them, when they explain what their plan was, Hunley's like, "Well, there's no point taking Benji as Lane to the White Widow because it was all a trap set by the CIA. So the White Widow is actually working with the CIA, and her thing is she was going to hand them Lane and Ilsa Faust at free." That's why the White Widow was asking about Ilsa Faust. Yeah, so it would have been a big trap and the CIA would have had them no matter what. So Hunley's there to shut it all down. Ethan is like trying to explain to him, like, "This is how it's going. This is what I know, Lane. This is what he wants." Doesn't work. At one point, Hunley turns around to Luther and is like, "Stickle, please tell your friend we need to do this." And like, Ethan just zaps him in the neck with the needle thing that knocks him out, which is probably not a good thing to do to your boss. But anyway, he's just quickly like, "Okay, we're going to do this. Lane, are you in? Like, this is how we're going to get the plutonium. Are you in?" And Lane's like, "No worries, bro. I'm going to do it." Oh, thing we missed. Actually reading my notes instead of just going off the top of my head. He's like, "Well, what if we don't want to do what you say, Hunley?" And Hunley's like, "Then what the fuck do you think Walker's here for? He's a trained assassin. He will kill you." And Walker's just like, "Just part of the job. No offense."
And Walker's like, "I'd get assassinated by Henry Cavill."
Like, "Oh no, please don't." God, it's so hot in this movie. I can't
even. Be assassinated by Tom Cruise or Henry Cavill. Who would it be?
Depends on the method, I guess. Like, if it's a close range kind of assassination, then so I get to touch them is what I mean.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Probably Tom Cruise, just because, you know, I'd like to the last thing I see to be him, I guess.
Oh, that's sweet. But this is where the twist unraveled for me, because when he's like, "Where did Sloan get that information from?" And then it like slow pans on Walker. That's when I was like, "Oh, he's not a
Yeah.
And then it was like the phone wasn't a continuity error.
Yeah. They're like, ah, oh, they actually know what they're doing. So yeah, they knock out Hunley and they set up. So Benji, they're making a mask of Solomon Lane so Benji can wear, and like Benji's sitting down opposite next to, or sorry, back to back with Solomon Lane wearing the exact same outfit. And as he's putting like the voice thing on, he's like, I have a really bad feeling about this. And which is so, I kind of love they do that, because they always like without the mask talk and they're using the other person's voice because they've got that weird voice thing on their necks. Which if you hadn't seen number 3 where they show that really distinctly, you would be like, how does that thing, what the fuck is that thing on their throat? Because yeah, anyway,
it's just that the accent comes through as well. Like, it's not even like distort the voice, it's like, no, he has to learn a full accent too.
But it just changes, doesn't it? It just changes your voice box. I don't know.
Amazing.
Very clever technology. But then how does it come out of your mouth anyway? I don't know. It's
don't think about it.
No technology. Exactly. They're basically getting Walker to stay behind and to watch Lane while they take fake Lane, aka Benji, in the mask away to the White Widow to try and get this. Which this is another little thing. If they know it's a big setup, they're not going to get the plutonium, are they? Where are they going? I don't know. Anyway, don't think about it too much, Kara. Okay, this is the first time I've thought about that. As soon as they leave, old mate Walker stalks straight into Lane's room, wakes him up, and is like, starts yelling at him about the plan, and quickly identifies himself as John Lark. Like, that's if you had any doubts up to that point.
I jumped. He drops an F-bomb, and I was like, how are we going?
Because he's like, we gotta go. And Lane's like, no, I have unfinished business with Ethan. And he just goes, why do you have to make this so fucking difficult? Oh. So they're like, one swear word for that rating. So that was the swear word they use.
And really?
Mwah. It was, yeah. They can only use one F word. So they say shit and prick and stuff in it, but one F-bomb, and that was where they chose to use it.
It's the first F-bomb you've heard.
I think it is, yeah. But also, he is making, well, like, Lane is making it difficult. He's like, this isn't about anarchy, this is about revenge. And he's like, yep, I'm gonna fucking get that Ethan Hunt. I hate him. Walker's throwing a tantrum and saying, you know, Lane starts quoting his manifesto. He's like, when I wrote that manifesto, I wasn't thinking about you and fucking Ethan Hunt. And then he, like, throws a tantrum at one point and is like, Sloan was right. The IMF is nothing but Halloween. Men in masks. And then he realizes. Because he like looks at the mask maker and looks back, and then, which is superb bit of acting from Sean Harris, where he realizes that Walker has kind of picked up on him, and he goes, darty eyes, and he goes, what? It's so Simon Pegg, even though it's not Simon Pegg. It was very cute. Very well done. And so he just goes up and rips the mask off, and Benji's like, sorry, mate, no hard feelings, just the job. Yeah, they've basically caught him out that he is John Lark. He tries to deny it. Oh, and Hunley comes in with a gun, and it's like,
turns around, Huntley's there, not tranked, with a gun. It all happens in like 2 seconds. It was just like, the mask, the trank, the gun.
Which is what I'm guessing at some point they all figured out that maybe it was Walker and they had to prove it somehow.
Yeah.
And that's why they're like, we're going to the meeting, we'll leave you here. And it was just their plan to have him out himself. But then why didn't Walker go, hang on, if it's a setup with the White Widow, why are they going? Anyway, maybe
I just imagine that they would like walk out, do their thing, wait 10 minutes. If he didn't do anything fucking stupid in 10 minutes, they would have just come back and be like, whoops, we took the wrong lane, and then go back out.
It's so good. I want to see that movie. All right, just come back. So they just come back and go, oh, she stood us up. She wasn't there. Oh, geez, how awkward. And then...
But then, so then they come back out and like Luther and Lane and Ethan are all like perfectly choreographed into this little triangle to be like ready to face him when he like comes out.
Yep.
Do you reckon they like plan that? Like, no, I'm in the middle. You go.
Yeah. They got little tape crosses on the thing where they have to stand.
Little squares on the floor.
Yeah. No, it'd be so much cooler if you stand here. So when they, like, I like the bit where they're all kind of like gloating about how well they did. They're like, Hunley, you did a really good job. And Benji's like, how did I do? And then they all just like stand there like all smug, like, we just pulled that off real well, which I really liked.
And then Luther's like, oops, bad boy.
God, I love Luther so much. Walker is like insisting, I was just playing a part just to get the plutonium. And they're like, well, where did Sloan get that dossier? And he's like, I have no idea. And then, of course, Sloan is on a speakerphone somewhere. And she's like, I do. I don't like being used, dickhead.
It's a bit of like a Mean Girls prank, like having someone else on the line the whole time, like in your secret conversation.
Yeah, it is.
Sloane's like, oh no, you didn't.
Who told you this secret? I don't know. I know the fourth person in the Mean Girls group. Yeah, so they're like, well, what are we going to do? And she's like, I'm taking you all in. She doesn't trust anyone. She just like, I've got my guys there. You're all getting taken in. Hunley's furious. Like, that wasn't part of the deal. But Ethan's like, no, it's fine. We can do it. All the bad people in this scenario are in the room with us. We've got them. It's fine. Let's just do what she says. And then Walker's like, have you got us? Lights go out. He's obviously got plants in the CIA gun dudes. Big shootout. Meanwhile, at some point, Ilsa has snuck in and is watching it all from a distance. And so she's like picking off bad guys as they're all in a big fight. There's a bit of a confrontation between, so Walker sees Ethan, back of Ethan, and he's like easy shot. He goes to shoot him, but then Hunley comes in and wrestles with him, and Hunley gets stabbed to death by Walker, which is, he just transferred to the IMF and is like, and now you're dead. Yeah, but it was very brave of him. Like, I don't imagine he has ever been in the field before, which is why they're probably congratulating him so much earlier. Meanwhile, what's his name? Walker has just strolled out and he's like, all right, laters, walks out of there, calls up about, he's apparently got a pre-arranged rendezvous point.
Which he was meant to tag him though on his way out.
Yeah, so Ethan's like talking to Hunley saying, I'm so sorry, as he's dying. And like, Ethan, you've got to go. Walker's gone. We've tagged him, but you need to go after him and stop him. So they put a thing in Ethan's neck and Ethan
runs.
Bounces out of there and runs. And
runs and
I think
runs
apparently
runs.
This running scene goes just a fraction longer than the third one. So they obviously were trying to beat the third movie's record for running. So he runs out, they run into St. Paul's Cathedral at one point, and there's a fucking funeral on.
This is one of the scenes where we as an audience know more than the character, which is rare in this whole franchise. Normally the characters know much more than us, but you're sitting there and you're like, oh no, oh no, no Ethan, no.
And there's like goons running from all different directions. And he's like, I'm so sorry, everyone. Like, bolts out.
Sorry.
Oh my God. He runs up a tower and meanwhile, Benji is watching them all and is like, why is he running in circles? Because goofy old Benji isn't looking at the map properly. And like, they runs out because he runs up this tower up to the top of the cathedral. He then is now on the rooftops and is running for his life, listening to Benji's things like, okay, cross the street now. Cause Benji thinks he's running on the road. He's like, cross the street now. So it's like a shot of Ethan doing this big leap building to building over a street. And the music in this scene is so good. On the DVD, they have a big breakdown of how they did the music. It's real cool. And like, intercut with Walker just casually just walking through London to the rendezvous point. Yeah, Ethan's running over rooftops. There's a very good bit where he runs through an office and everyone's just sort of standing there and he's like yelling, where do I go now? Where do I go now? It's like, to the right. And Benji's like, oh, oops, had screen lock on, go left. And he has to like smash through a window. He's like, what are you taking so long? He's like, I'm jumping out of a window. And he's like, a window. And he's like, oops, sorry, I only had it on 2D.
Oops.
Good luck. But this is the most important bit of this entire scene, apart from all the excellent running, is the fact that during one of the jumps, where Tom Cruise jumps between two buildings over a road in real life, it's set up so he can't quite make the jump, but he just grabs onto the edge ledge and pulls himself off and keeps running. Except in real life, when Tom Cruise did it, he broke his foot really badly and shut down production for 6 weeks, and they kept that shot in the movie.
Well, you gotta use it. If you got it, you gotta use
it. Yeah, that asshole, like, broke his foot. He knew when he hit that he broke it. Like, you see the video and his foot just turns like unnaturally too far back. And he knows he's broken it, but he just gets a club, pulls himself off the ledge and just runs past the camera so they keep the shot.
Gotta do the shot, yeah.
I have broken my foot and I was down and gone. The work ethic on that man is ridiculous. So they had to shut down production for 6 weeks for him to heal, which 6 weeks doesn't seem like, it mustn't have been a very bad break. Like, it may be more of like a bad sprain.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's because it's Tom Cruise. He heals super
He's
fast.
He's made like of metal. Wolverine. He's basically Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah, he keeps chasing. He has to run across one of the big bridges over the Thames River.
Yeah, the one like over the roof is just like, fuck, he's got a good sprint on him.
He's so good. Like, this man is like in his mid to late 50s. Just the form on that run is out of control. It is ridiculous. Just fucking sprint. And he's been sprinting for miles. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he gets to, and like, as he's running along, Benji's like, you almost got him. Like, really excited. Like, he's playing a video game. It's very cute. And where are they? They're at the, what's the big museum? The big modern art gallery, which I didn't get to go to in London because I was too hungover that day, which was a bit of a shame. But Ben was like, we walked around there and I'm like, fuck, why did I drink so much? I missed out on recreating that. Like, me trying to run, doing that bit. Anyway.
Put again.
just break my foot again. He said, this time I die because I'm not fucking Ethan Hunt. Walker goes into a building, and just as the door is closing, Ethan closes in on him. Walker gets into a special lift. So that's going up, and Ethan just jumps up and grabs the bottom of a lift, which is like just all mesh. Like it's not
like old school cage ones. Yeah.
Ethan looks up and is like, whoa, because Walker's just standing there. An excellent shot, upshot of everything that Henry Cavill has to offer. He just stands there, his hands are hit, looking down. It's very nice. Ethan's like startled, and he's like, pulls his gun out to shoot Ethan, but he can't because Lane's still.
Oh, and that like flinch of like, oh, this is it.
Yeah. Because he's like, he looks around, because like, I can't do anything. I fall down. I break my legs for real this time. But he can't do it. So he's like, okay, well, you can't follow me, Hunt. And if you do, if I see you again, I'm going to kill this. And shows a photo of Julia. So he's like, I'm her guardian angel. If I see you again, I kill her. So just back the fuck off. He gets out, gets in a helicopter that has Lane in it, just as Ethan gets out and sees him flying off, and then just watching him, and Ethan's like, oh boy,
he's just so defeated standing on that roof.
Yeah, imagine running forever, like for literally ever, hours. And then just missing out. Jesus Christ. Actually, the only thing that I didn't really understand, I don't know if you picked up on it, who had the plutonium all along? Like, where'd they get the plutonium? Like, they've got some point. So Lane's in the helicopter, has gotten out somehow. He must have had access, been able to get there.
I mean, I think the idea of the apostles being really vague, and the idea, like, if they like do like the apostles is like maybe 12 of them, like just vague people around the world that could be helping them, I think that kind of feels,
yeah, I guess so.
Like, they just have henchmen looking after them.
I think that's, yeah, not to be considered as deeply as, but this time watching it, I was like, hang on, where did the plutonium come from, and where was Solomon Lane during all this walking around? Like, anyway, don't know. Didn't mention that in the 6-hour podcast, did they? Now we have, so I don't know if this is kind of meanwhile, Luther, Ilsa, and Benji are talking about the plutonium and the bombs that are going to be made. They also have the blueprints for the bombs, but they're very well-made bombs, so there's no real way to disarm them, defuse them, so they're trying to work that out. Basically, they worked out once they're armed, there's no way, they can't be disarmed, basically can't be stopped, but they're going to have to do something, I guess. I think they have to get the detonator, I guess, is their goal at this point.
Luther and also are having like a big D&M here. Like, Luther must be such a good therapist. Like, I was like, oh, he'd be a really good dad.
And he's like the sage, like he's gone to that point where he's old enough and wise enough. He's like the sage old.
Yeah.
Old dude is like dishing out advice, because he like kind of just like gives Benji this look and like darts his eyes, and Benji's like, and just leaves quickly. Yeah. And Ilsa's there, and he's like, what's wrong?
The backstory of the wife.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, so Ethan's only cared about two women in his life, which by saying that has basically said that Mission Impossible 2 is no longer canon. Fuck it off. Because Tandy Newton doesn't count, because that never happened. That was a fucking fever dream. That's how I perceive that.
Which is funny, because Luther was a big part of that one. Like, he knew.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, a bit rough.
Yeah. But it wasn't even that Luther-y. Like, he's like wearing this expensive suit and like stands in like kangaroo poo and is like, my LeBouton shoes or whatever. Like, ugh, it was so bad. None of them were good. Except for that one Aussie helicopter driver. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
So he actually explains to Ilsa about the wife situation, and he's basically like, you know, she got taken. That's why they're not together anymore. He's like, oh, she's a ghost and real good at it too. She just sings up a ping now and then. I taught her myself, kind of thing, kind of insinuating that Luther had a good friendship with her as well, which is quite sweet. And he basically says, like, if you come along with this mission, that is just one extra thing that's going to stress Ethan out. Can you please stay? And then Ethan kind of strolls in at this point. It's like, hey guys, what's wrong? And Ilsa's like, hello, Ethan, I'm coming. Like, just disregards everything. Luther has said, she's like, that's really nice, but I'm not just gonna sit here and do nothing. So like, Ethan's little face is like, yeah, I know you're coming, like real sad. Yeah, they talk about how they actually have a tracking device in Lane's neck, so when they took that other one out, they actually put their own one in and had like a delayed activation time.
Switcheroo.
So they actually show the actual switcheroo, and I'm like, excellent. So they actually know. So they look up, and they're obviously on an airplane flying over towards, they work out that they're going to Kashmir, so that's where they end up going. And obviously they don't show them traveling, although in this one there are a lot of cut scenes where they actually showed them going to the border into Kashmir, and when they get there, there's like just dead bodies everywhere. Like, Lane and Walker went through and just killed everyone, and like, it's really intense. Like, there's like a scene where Ethan's like going into this dark door and sees all these bodies, and it's in the trailer, but they just never actually put it in the movie. But the director said, like, yeah, we had all that and it looked really good because it was all really misty and really spooky looking, except no one cares about how IMF travel. Like, no one gives a shit about how they get through border security and stuff. So that's why they cut it out.
Yeah.
And also the movie was getting quite long at this point. So yeah, now they're in Kashmir. They are in their vehicle and Benji's madly trying to work out how the fuck do I disarm this bomb. They're all talking about, and they're like heading towards this camp, which is where the smallpox thing that they mentioned at the very, very start of the movie is. And they're like, why are they going, why are they doing it there? Because the tracker turns off at some point. They're like, oh, that's where it stopped pinging. He's obviously found it.
That's where he's leading us to. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ilsa actually works out that where that valley is in Kashmir, if the bombs go off there, it's basically going to starve one third of the world's population, because like it's China, India and Pakistan all center there, and it's where all the water comes from, like a big glacier sort of thing. So that's why they're targeting that area. They don't know why the smallpox thing was there, because they worked out, oh, okay, they did the smallpox thing, but why? Why do they do that? Don't worry, we'll find out in a moment. Benji, meanwhile, figures out a way to defuse the bombs. Basically, the countdowns must start. They have to cut the wires, but before they can cut the last wire, the detonator has to have the key removed. So very risky. It's all on the whim of whether or not they can get the detonator in time to cut the wires. Meanwhile, you see Lane putting the plutonium into the bombs, and he's like, all right, so they're all ready to go. You're going to have 15 minutes head start. And they look at him and he's like, nah, I'm not going. This is the end of the line for me. Because he wants to see Ethan get blown up or have his plan failed, basically.
It's like, this is basically the biggest thing in my life. After this, I have nothing to look forward to.
It's the ultimate Joker, Batman, like final showdown kind of situation. So they start go looking for bombs. They're like, going to run to this campsite, try and find these bombs. And as Ethan's running into one of the campsites, hears his name called and he turns around and, uh-oh, it's Julia.
Why is she
his ex-wife? What? And she's remarried and her husband comes up and he's like, oh, who's this? And she's like, oh, my name's Rob. I used to work with her at the hospital. I heard you needed help. And he's like, oh no, everyone's inoculated. You kind of didn't need to be here. And it's kind of, so the director said he set it up that he wanted the audience, this guy knew that Julia has a big hole in her past that he doesn't know about, but he trusts her, and that Ethan turning up is the hole. Like he's kind of like,
yeah,
okay, why has her past come back, and what does he want with my wife kind of thing. As they're talking, they're like, oh, what are you, you're so far away from everything, what are you doing here? And they're like, yeah, the smallpox broke out and a guardian angel like set up all the funds to come here. And he's
guardian
like,
angel just called out of the blue.
And then as Ethan's like, uh-oh,
no,
even Julia's kind of like, oh fuck, we've been brought here as revenge for Ethan Hunt. So
she suddenly realizes like her whole career has been like puppeteered by the syndicate, which is a pretty feeling.
Yeah, especially like I left the person I love, so this wouldn't happen, and it fucking keeps happening.
Also, her new partner, I was like, why is he so creepy? Why do I have such a weird feeling to him? And then I was like, oh, he's the boyfriend from American Beauty.
Yes, yes, he is.
Oh, he is a creepy man.
They kind of realize, like, everyone's kind of like, oh, fuck. And they kind of work out a plan. It's like, oh, why don't you catch up? And, like, the husband's like, well, we'll pack and then we'll take you back to the main town and you guys can catch up on the way. They part ways. And just as she's like, oh, it was lovely to see you, he hugs her and is like, I'm so fucking sorry, Julia. Like, you're going to die. And she's like, ah, oh, good. This again.
Said something to people in this film. He's a very sorry man.
I know. He's just sorry for everything. He's like, I'm so sorry. Everything I do sucks. So they met while this is all happening, and like Ilsa's like, oh no, that's not the wife, is it? And they're all just sort of standing there, and Ilsa's like,
this is awful.
Freaking out, because she's like, this is the dude I like and this is his wife, and oh fuck, this sucks. Meanwhile, Luther spots the first bomb and they get it down, and Luther's left to trying to start defusing it while they search for the second one. And Luther's like, don't worry about Luther, he'll be fine by himself. Insinuating that he's not going to be fine. So he's trying to work out how to disarm it. Benji and Ilsa and Ethan are running around and
their little devices trying to find the electric.
Yeah, like trying to
in a place full of electric chargers.
Yeah, full of fucking x-ray machines. Yeah. Oh my god. As they're looking around, Luther sees that the detonator has been activated, so the bomb is now armed and it's now counting down from 15 minutes. And they're like, oh, that means they're probably here somewhere because the signal's really strong. So they look down and they can see a figure walking, and they're like, fuck, it's Walker, and he's walking towards some helicopters. They jump in a car, they zoom down, they're like, what are you gonna do? He's like, don't worry, you guys find the bomb, I'll sort it out. And he just starts running off his helicopter, misses it, it takes off and he doesn't get to catch it. But the second second one taking off has this thing called a payload, which is basically a long rope with the goods that the helicopter is carrying in a big bundle down below. So Ethan manages to just catch that rope just in time and is pulled up by the helicopter, and thus starts the next most dangerous stunt in all times, where Ethan Hunt climbs up a rope, and this is all real. Like, this is legitimately things Tom Cruise did. All of it. So he climbs up the rope, and apparently it was freezing cold, because they're filming this in New Zealand. Freezing cold, and Tom Cruise is like, my hands were so cold, I could barely hold the rope. Climbs up, and then as he gets up into the landing feet things of the helicopter and is trying to hook his feet on, and then slips and just drops and lands on his back on the payload and sort of disappears. So
dry
look at the window and like
when he did that.
Yeah. that was real.
Oh.
Like, Tom Cruise was on a significantly smaller rope, and that's like even he was freaking out about it. Like he had to let go and just land on it, and then the rope would catch him. It's fucked. Like, apparently everyone watching it actually thought they lost Tom Cruise.
I killed him.
So like he's clinging underneath, and then he manages to get up. He climbs up the rope again, and they only got 15 minutes. Like, he must be a fast rope climber.
Yeah.
He climbs up. He manages to get on properly. Like, he's standing on the edge, and he like pokes his head in, and the guy sitting in this second helicopter was literally meant to be, what's his name, Henry Cavill's stunt double / stand-in, because he looks exactly like Henry Cavill, just like the Wish version of Henry Cavill. And so he gets into a fight with him, and they're like fighting each other. The pilot gets shot, and so he just throws the both of them out the side window, and Ethan Hunt is now controlling a helicopter, and Ethan doesn't know really how to fly a helicopter. He just kind of starts figuring out by himself. But Tom Cruise spent 2 years learning how to fly a helicopter for this, so all of it except for one thing I think is all Tom Cruise flying the helicopter.
I was like, thank God he did Top Gun. And then my partner was like, Britt, that is not helicopters. I was like, yeah, but same, right?
I feel like as I'm watching, I'm like, is one hard? Like, which one is harder than the other? Like, I feel like helicopter would be easier, but then I'm like, no, because a plane just goes one direction, whereas a helicopter can go up, down, sideways, like ridiculous. So
it did look like he needed little L plates on it, like when he first got in, a bit rusty.
Yeah, because he's like, okay, this power worked it all out, and starts chasing the other helicopter, and he gets like the payload gets caught in some trees below him because he's flying too low, and he's like, how do I get rid of this payload? And he sees a button that says payload, and he's like, power. And he like jacks up the power, goes up and above. He says power. And he goes up and above the other helicopter to drop the payload, and he's like, hold this for me, will ya? He doesn't normally have these cheesy lines, but he does in this, and it worked really well in my opinion. And he drops it, but it just misses, and they're like, what the hell? And they go up and look, and this is my other favorite bit in this movie. They pull up alongside each other, and they're looking at each other, and Walker just gives him this look, and Ethan just goes, that's right, prick. And Walker just shrugs, turns around, and gets the biggest gun you've ever seen at the back, and just goes,
he's basically like, shooting. I'll show you, prick. But there's like nothing greater comedic than like a one-liner followed by just immediate failure. it's so confident and cocky, and then just like, nah.
Like in the fourth one, he's like, mission accomplished, and the button doesn't work. Delightful. Thus starts a helicopter chase where Ethan Hunt's entire goal is to ram the other helicopter out of the air.
Very safe.
Which begs the question, he needs the detonator to pull that key out. What was his plan if the payload had have hit the other helicopter? Because they were above a lake at the time. Like, was he just going to swim in and go fetch the detonator?
Yeah, he's just really good at res volley.
I don't think he thought that through. He can hold his breath for 6 minutes, but that still seemed like a flawed plan.
This is going to Wars scene too, because like the machine gun that Walker's using has like tracer rounds on it, of which I was like, why is he shooting lasers? And I was like, oh no, this is just a schmancy gun.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Meanwhile, all this is happening. Benji and Julia are hunting for the other bomb. They keep getting signatures, keeps being x-rayed, and then Ilsa is like, no, if we're looking here, we're looking in the wrong place. Lane is doing this on purpose. So she goes, I'm checking the village. And Benji's like, no, I think I found something. Turns out it's an x-ray machine. And she ends up finding, she sees Lane in one of the buildings in the village nearby. She runs up after him and leaves Benji by himself. Now she goes to find Lane, and obviously it's set up. Lane gets her and starts they get into a nice big fist fight together. Very good. This is where Ilsa, the actress, is actually 7 months pregnant. She did most of her stunts, but not all of them. They have a big fight, but he knocks her out, ties her up to a chair, and turns her around. And is like, you don't want to see this, and lures Benji in.
While this is happening, Luther and Julia are having a funny conversation as well.
Oh yeah, because as Luther's trying to disarm the bomb, Julia turns up. They're like, no, send her away. And he's like, where the fuck's she gonna go? She's gonna get blown up. Like, I need second pair of hands. And like, she's helping defuse the bomb. And she's like, so how's Ethan? He's like, yeah, no.
Then it comes to Ethan getting shot out of a helicopter.
So at one point, when he first gets into the helicopter,
I was like, same old Ethan.
Just, stealing helicopters. But they talk about, he's like, I'm in a helicopter. I'm going after him. I promise I'll get the detonator. And like, how'd you get in the helicopter? And he's like, you can fly a helicopter? And everyone's like, what? And but then their communication ends up cutting out. And yeah, so all that's happening. Meanwhile, Benji and Ilsa. So Ilsa, before she gets, thumped in the head by Lane, she finds the second bomb and she's tied up. Benji comes storming in. She's like gagged, but she's screaming, no, it's a trap. Benji comes in and Solomon Lane's getting his revenge and he's funny little friend, as he called him earlier, and basically has a noose set up and is gonna basically like just hang Benji. So poor old Ilsa's panicking because she can't see anything because he's turned her chair around. So her way to get out of that, which kicks ass, is that she just stands up and then just throws herself back first into a table and smashes the chair into a million pieces.
A full back-breaking move. So painful.
But it worked. I mean, it was a flimsy, crappy chair, so I guess. So, yeah, so Benji's hanging and, starting to choke. She starts to get into a fight with Lane. They're fighting. She sort of kicks the crate over, so Benji stops choking for a minute and bottle gets broken. She throws up a bottle. He's trying to cut his own noose and they're having a big fight. She does a cool big takedown thing, but to no avail. She stabs him in the leg at one point with a bit of the broken bottle.
Yeah, in the back of the thigh.
Yeah. Ooh. Epic fight scene, but then he starts punching Ilsa in the face that she's almost knocked out. So Benji's like, okay, kicks Lane, but accidentally kicks away his box. So now they're all fucking dying. Ridiculous. So yeah, all that's happening while Ethan is trying to ram a helicopter out of the sky with Walker in it.
Well, Ilsa's kind of like has a choice there as well. So she's got a rope around Lane's neck and she's strangling.
Yes.
While Benji's dying on.
Yes. Yeah. Because she keeps looking up at Benji, like passing out, and she's trying to choke out Lane, who's fighting and fighting. And so she has to wait until she knows Lane is unconscious. And then as soon as he is, she then just slashes the rope. Cuts at Benji. Benji lies down, is quiet. And then 2 seconds later goes, and wakes up. And then she's like, time up, will you? Like, Benji's almost died. And then she's like, can you please time up?
Definitely.
And even please. She's just like, time up. Yeah, so during all this fighting, there's guns and being shot. So like Ethan's helicopter's engine is on fire and he's like, keeps like, come on, just a little bit longer. And like at one point, there's a bit where Ethan dips below these clouds and the other pilot refuses. And Walker's like, why aren't you going down there? He's like, are you crazy? I don't know what's down there. And then all of a sudden, Ethan just comes phew, up through the clouds, like at least knocks him out. Very exciting. There's a scene cut out where they actually showed what happened to Ethan below the clouds.
Oh.
Which is the only bit Ethan wasn't flying a helicopter for. He dips below and there's actually a road down there and he goes out and there's this big truck with big logs on it coming and he just has to like pull up and like it's hit final destination style.
Yeah, final destination. Obviously.
But obviously that was too intense and they cut that out. But that was the only bit where the helicopter was actually just on a truck or something and it wasn't actually flying that low to the ground.
Weird.
Anyway, yeah, so he comes zooming out and nearly knocks him out the sky and yeah, just keeps chasing him and as his every single light is flashing alarm bells at him and he's like, just a little bit longer. And just as they get to a top of a mountain, he just manages to hit them and two helicopters go flying. All their propellers got knocked off and yeah, it's pretty intense. Has it stopped me from wanting to be a helicopter pilot? Absolutely not. I would love to be the stunt driver. That's my new dream, Britt. I want to be I can't be a stunt car driver. I want to be a stunt helicopter driver.
I hear you have a great future in that.
So, yeah, he rams the helicopter out of the sky.
They crash.
And they both crash. They crash really spectacularly and they kind of knock each other down. So they're on top of a snowy mountain, but there's like another cliff further down, but there's like this narrow bridge down. Their helicopters slide down there and then land the bottom and then roll out some more.
It's like a little funhouse. It reminds me of one of those like VR roller coasters.
Yeah, because it's just so much happening and like you see from their perspective a lot too, like push down and then it's really flat. So somewhere in Norway this was filmed and they even did a film premiere on that big flat bit the final fight's on.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it takes like a day to hike there and everyone went there to see Fallout play there. Wild. Yeah, so they both get out. They both fall out of their helicopters and they have a bit of a fist fight. Oh, no, is this where they are hanging down and like, no.
No, they're fist fighting in the helicopters and Walker like Harvey Dents himself in the face.
Yeah, so a hot oil thing comes, like pours out into his face. And so apparently they did that because they couldn't, showing blood and to keep their rating, they can't really show too much blood.
Oh.
So that's why they, to do the grievous injury, they just did the hot oil burn because that's, will keep them within their rating. It's but it's fucking effective. Up. Yeah. Oh, oh, that beautiful face. No, that beautiful face.
And they're like having this fight and Walker's like trying to punch Ethan and stuff like that. And he's like, why won't you just die? And all I can think about is like Austin Powers with the assassin. Like, why won't you die?
Well, I guess if Austin Powers is a send-up of spy movies, that's why.
I mean, it's canon, right? It works.
Yeah. Ethan like undoes his seatbelt at one drop down. They're like wrestling each other, hanging upside down. The helicopters end up falling out of the ridge and bounce off down the side of the cliff. One of them's still connected by this big wire and a hook. And so they have a nice big fist fight on this giant flat piece of rock on the top of the fucking world. And it's very dramatic. And
detonators strewn on right to the edge of the cliff.
Watching this, Ben was like, wow, Tom Cruise is short. And I'm like, this just proves that Tom Cruise does not give a shit about his height because they keep making jokes about how these much taller men almost overpower him, but then tiny little pucker rocket Ethan kind of flips them out the way kind of thing. Yeah, big fight. And it's just, it's very nice. Like two very handsome men that I enjoy very much, just having a wonderful time fist fighting each other on a beautiful scenic background.
Muscle and weight around, basically.
Yes, it's a good time. They end up flipping, and it was so well filmed, like they, as they're rolling over, and Ethan is just desperately trying to get this detonator, because when they're falling down that ridge, Ethan grabs the thing, and when he lands on the ground, he's just got the handle, and you see the actual detonator bouncing right to the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
They end up both bouncing off the edge of the cliff and just holding onto this metal rope thing that the helicopter's hanging down on.
Like a winch almost.
Yeah, and so Ethan's like kicking Walker in the face and Walker's just not giving up, fucking bubbly faced and everything disgusting, and he defeats him by, just as you think, you know, what can they do? They're like rock climbing a la Mission Impossible 2.
Thank God he has those skills.
Yeah.
What is it, seems later or something like that? He's still powerful.
So Ethan manages to finally get rid of Walker. He noticed the helicopter keeps dropping down, like the hook up there is not holding onto anything very well and keeps sliding down. So Ethan just puts himself flat in the wall, pulls that rope as hard as he can, and the hook comes out and hooks Walker straight in the face and sucks him down, and you see a red smear on the cliff below and he falls into the explosion. And that is Walker, the handsome, handsome, dumb villain, gone forever. Ben's like, I reckon Walker's going to come back in the next movie. I'm like, I don't think he can. He died with a hook in the face, fell off a cliff, and then into a fire.
Clever storytelling. So in our Netherworld trivia, there's a team called Henry Cavill's Ass, and I...
I didn't know
the entire film waiting for the like the ass shot that was related to. But then I was like, oh, it must be Witcher then. I guess he gets pretty bare butt in that.
No, so we don't see his bare butt in Witcher, which is annoying. So in the scene in the bathroom, you see how amazing his butt, which is why I'm so angry that they didn't show Henry Cavill's butt in the Witcher, because it's because he's got his legs apart and he's crouched down and he's got like the most perfect toned butt you've ever seen, and he's like his business pants. And I think that would be that, because yeah. But they don't show his butt in Witcher. Fucking rip off. I say 10,000 fucking boobs and not one single butt. Sucks. Yeah, so Walker is gone and Ethan still has to climb up. So remember, we've only got 15 minutes for this all to happen.
Pause timer.
Yeah, has to climb up with the timer, and it's beautifully shot. So meanwhile, also, they're now all defusing the bombs. They've all got them to a point where they're ready to go, and they just have to wait until they can clip it, and they end up choosing to leave it to 1 second. Like, Luther sends Julia off to go be with her husband, thinking this might be the end. Ilsa and Benji have done everything they need to do, and they're all like, when do we clip? It's like, at 1 second? Do we leave it that long? It's like, do you want to waste that 1 second? Because we know we need Ethan to have pulled out the key. So then we think, okay, what's going to happen? So they get to 1 second, they clip the wires, and everything goes to white, which you first thought is like, oh good, everything blew up, that's
it's
so wonderful
mean. It is. I was like, oh, they didn't sure. And I was like,
because that's the thing though, Ethan would have been fine, which is what Lane wanted all along. He wants everyone Ethan knows and loves to die.
Yeah.
And so, and Ethan can't do anything about it because Ethan's so far away now. But of course that wasn't the thing. It was just the sun peeking over the horizon.
It's the sunset.
And you see Ethan hanging off the edge of the cliff, holding the detonator with the key thing in his mouth. He just spits it out, drops the detonator and crawls up the edge and just lies on the edge of the cliff. Apparently in real life, and all, everyone on set was freaking out because Tom Cruise was just lying on the edge of a giant fucking cliff. And he did it. He saved the day.
He did it.
Good on you, Ethan. And just as he's passing out, he just sort of sees a helicopter coming the distance. And the movie ends with him in like on a hospital gurney at back at the medical camp. He sees Julia and her husband standing there, and her husband's kind of like smart assy, like, yeah, it's lucky your friend found you. Like, you lucky you survived that helicopter crash and your friend found you with the entire Indian army behind them. Like, okay, goodbye, Doctor. Wink. Julia has talked to him and he's like, I'm so sorry I did this to you again. She's like, don't worry about it. Like, I love my life. Shit happens. It's all good.
I know you'll always be there to protect me. So she's basically just committing him for an entire life as her bodyguard. He's like, oh, great, I can't escape this now.
And you know what? Ethan will be there because that's how Ethan works. I'm sure he has all her things tapped so he can fucking know she's in danger at all times. Then over while they're all talking, and like Ilsa comes up and he says, I'm glad you're fine and everything. And she's like, ah, oh, you've never looked better, which is true. He does look vulnerable, Tom Cruise, for some reason. I'm like, oh, beautiful.
Hospital lighting is doing really well. It's true.
Sloane is there. Sloane is the one who came to the rescue and got him off the top of the cliff. And you hear her voiceover talking about, as per your request, Lane is going back to the MI6 to close the books on Ilsa's thing with British intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically thanks him for everything he's done and says how he's caring about the life of one person as much as the millions is what makes him unique and stops her from having to do that. Blah, blah, blah. White Widow, her storyline is closed off because she was the broker getting Lane back to the MI6. So that's how we see it. Because you kind of don't see the White Widow again after that first.
Oh, only in the Last Encounter. Furious franchise. So maybe this is part of that world.
I mean, she's a
Jason Statham
British crime lady.
Yeah.
That movie, that last movie, Hobbs and Shaw. Mwah, what a good movie. And now Ilsa's free. Benji's like, so how close were we? And Ethan's like, the usual. And Ilsa's like, the usual. And he's like, please don't make me laugh, my ribs. And they end on him laughing in hospital, which is a very different ending to most of the Mission Impossibles, but it's very sweet and I liked it. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is Mission Impossible so far.
That is the most intense action-packed movie I've ever seen, let alone a Mission Impossible movie.
It was incredible.
Boy howdy.
And no Jeremy Renner.
It was so good. Yeah, no fucking Jeremy Renner. Yes. So the only reason he wasn't in this because he couldn't work into his schedule with Endgame and all that, so all the Avengers stuff. So
it is part of the same universe, Kara, I'm telling you.
Fucking Hawkeye, Jesus Christ.
Danny was telling me about there was a moustache thing with...
Yeah, yeah, so this is great. So Justice League is a piece of shit movie that no one should watch. And I say this as a normally DC household. Like, it's so bad. And Superman is in that. Big spoiler because you think Superman's meant to be dead, but he's not. And he comes back. But at the start of Justice League, there's mobile phone footage of Superman talking about something. I can't remember. It was pointless. But they needed Henry Cavill to come back to shoot that. And he was in the middle of filming Mission Impossible and he had his big moustache in Mission Impossible. So the story was that Mission Impossible refused to let him shave the moustache. So they had to CGI off the moustache for Justice League. But what actually happened was they said, we need him back. They couldn't work out a time. So Christopher McQuarrie said, okay, we'll work out how much it'll cost to digitally add a moustache back on. They worked out it'd be about $3 million. And they said, how about you just give us $3 million and we'll shut down production for the 4 or so weeks and it will take to grow the moustache back. And apparently that's when the Paramount and the other studio intervened and were like, this is fucking ridiculous. Just CGI off the moustache. But it's so bad in the Justice League. Like, you can see that he's meant to have a moustache and it's fucked. And I just love how Mission Impossible fucked Justice League. It's so good.
If only your moustache could be worth $3 million, I probably wouldn't spend $12 getting mine waxed every now.
Is this what rich people do with their moustaches? Jesus Christ. So yeah, that's one of my favourite bits of trivia about this movie.
Amazing.
All right, well, Tom Cruise-isms. We kind of, for the first time since doing this podcast, I remembered to look at Tom Cruise-isms while watching the movie.
Yeah.
Running, obviously.
So much running.
Most of the movie.
Beautiful sprints.
Excellent, excellent running. All confined within that one running scene. There was very little running outside of that. Stunts, obviously, like I've said the whole way through.
Ridiculous.
He did them all. A couple of shots here and there where there was not even a stunt, just like a a move he did where they got the body double to do it because it would have possibly hurt his ankle again. Otherwise, all Tom Cruise. Wasn't Henry Cavill doing the halo jump, which I thought it was, but it wasn't. It was just a body double. But they didn't need him because he's just unconscious the whole time. So that's fair enough. Everyone else did their stunts. Like, I think Rebecca Ferguson did almost all of hers up until she got too pregnant. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other fun facts about the stunts I can think of, but I think I just watched their behind the scenes.
So beautiful.
It covers it all. So good. The other Tom Cruise-ism, so the bewildered expression I noticed too at the club in Paris. Oh yeah, so when he's saying to Ilsa in the bathroom, like, I don't know what's going on. What's going on? And he has the most bewildered Tom Cruise expression ever. And then there's a point talking to Lane. I think it must be when Lane is telling him like the fallout of all your good intentions, blah, blah, blah. And he has kind of a bit of a bewildered Tom Cruise expression.
It's a bit bewildered, like going through the concept of him being Lark as well. Like there's a bit when they're in that basement thing where he's like blinking a lot while thinking.
Then the Tom Cruise smile at the start, there was like a small Tom Cruise smile when they're in Berlin getting the plutonium. And then at the very end, when they go like the usual,
don't make me laugh.
And then don't make me laugh. And he does a big Tom Cruise smile, even though he's fucking fucked up. And so it's
put an additional, I said new Tom Cruise-ism possibly.
Yeah.
He's like visibly thinking. There's like heaps of shots in this movie and in the previous ones where the camera just stays on him for a little while, where he is visibly like going over something in his mind thinking. Like I just noticed that a bunch of times.
Well, I'm gonna look for it now. I'm gonna keep looking for it now. There's also the trying to run with a fucked up leg.
The limp running.
Obviously, the limp running. No grenades in this one, so there's no surprise grenade pulls. But I think that's it. I think that's it for Tom Cruise-isms.
I do have a question as well. Is like, how does Ethan know which like mission devices are gonna like just poof in smoke or fully explode? Like, do you reckon he has almost like PTSD from the Oakleys and like every time it's like counting down five? He's like,
Yeah, because, except for that movie, they all just puff up in smoke, which is why number two can't be canon. Because
they're like that.
Yeah. Also, here's the shittest one. It's fucking Oakley's, and now they can like, fucking explode. That movie, oh my God. okay, well, let's rate this movie. Oh, I didn't think of my rating system. That's one thing I forgot to do once again. Do you have a rating system?
I do.
In mind?
So I had a good think about this, and obviously I'm going to give it 5 out of 5, even though it's a scale test. But I thought 5 out of 5 fistcocks.
Yes. Okay, that's a perfect one. Christopher Corey talked about the Bechdel test and how he doesn't like it, not because, you know, he thinks sexism rules or anything. He says it's an interesting like measure to think about in movies, but he says making that a rule sucks because he's like, are you going to tell me that Ilsa isn't fully autonomous and good and all that sort of stuff? So he doesn't, in all of his films he's directed, no, I don't think any of them pass the Bechdel test, but he's like, I don't think about that. All I think, I don't want to hit beats just to, you know, hit these things. I would rather just make kick-ass female characters.
Yeah, and then who are fully autonomous and counts platonic male-female relationships as well.
Yeah, it does.
Well, then I can give 5 out of 5 fistcock.
Yes, yes. Okay, I have to rate this movie. Fuck, this is my favorite movie. Is it my favorite movie of all times? I don't know. Speed would be very upset to be overtaken like that. But I'm going to give this movie 6 out of 5.
Oh, she did.
I'm breaking my own fucking records here, and I'm going to give it lady boners during the cop face caress scene because it's a nice time. Just a little contrast to the fist cocks. Yeah, I'm going to give it 6 because I can't just give it 5. I love this movie too much. In my opinion, it's perfect and I love it.
Amazing.
And the end. It's my podcast. I do what I want.
Like I said last podcast, after watching it, I spent a lot of time going through some Fallout / fan fiction because I thought I was wrong. It was a very terrible idea. And it's either completely vulgar or way too sappy. The people that write this must be teenage girls.
There is no in between in like / fiction. It is either hardcore fucking or it's like gentle caresses the whole time.
Such gentle caresses. So I found one that I'd like to read to you. It's very short.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. The greater the suffering, the greater the peace is the anthem that Ethan loves to chant when he receives every spank from August's rough hands under him. Sometimes he's not quite sure whether he's scared or relaxed or even both. The world is on fire and so is their love. Every government wants them as much as they want each other.
Oh, no. When does this happen? happen? When, if he knows, like, at what point are they fucking and banking if he knows he's John Lark?
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
They spent a couple nights in Paris, right?
But if he knows he's John Lark and is using his fucking manifesto.
I don't read into it too much.
Oh, I'm going to. If you're going to write fan fiction, you better fucking... Jesus Christ. That is exactly what I've come to expect from...
I'm never doing that ever again. That's something I don't need to do. Actually, the horrifying thing is I was looking through the websites of fan fiction, and, like, the idea of finding any fan fiction that's not under, like, 10,000 words is impossible. People write bloody novels on this stuff.
Well, that's how, like, the Twilight author and stuff...
I guess so.
...books, because they just write these epic fucking...
Well, I look forward to this weird spin-out of Mission Impossible based on fan fiction.
Well, it's nice to see. I mean, those two fucking would be pretty hot. Like, honestly, in my opinion, they're my two favourite acting boys. So,
Poor boy.
This is just a little excerpt from a Benji Ethan / fiction.
Oh, God.
Green eyes. Green.
What is this podcast become?
Green eyes and gold dust. Benji cannot make out any such colour in the dark, but it matters not. Tonight, Ethan's eyes are radiant with the reflection of hundreds of streetlight galaxies and neon stars.
I also unfortunately found a bunch of like fan art that's Ethan and Jeremy Renner's character. So I'll send them.
No, Brand. Well, next time I see you, I will show you all my hentai fiction that is just them. Well, the Fallout one is very harmless, but the Benji Ethan one is very tender, and then they just fuck. And you're like, oh, wow.
Please keep in mind my mother's going to listen to this podcast.
She knows. Okay, well, we managed to do this in two parts, which is pretty great.
Amazing.
I'm actually pretty impressed how we got through those last bits. But best movie ever. I'd love to hear what other people think of the podcast. It's not the podcast. Who cares about that? What they think of the movie. If you want to tell me what you think, please hit me up on social media. It's Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review, no S, on Twitter, and TomCruiseReviews.com. Otherwise, Britt, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at Brittamon.
Wonderful.
Are all of your Jeremy Renner, Ethan Hunt Fallout fanfiction posters.
Fucking can't wait. Thank you so much for joining us on the epic Mission Impossible review series. It was very fun doing them all in a row, kind of, except for that little break because of coronavirus. But otherwise, that's it for Mission Impossible. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll catch you next time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and thank you for being the inspiration of encouraging me, inspiring me to watch all these great films.
And also, I just want to point out that I believe this new Tom Cruise renaissance that's happening at the moment is all because of me.
I believe it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of people who've messaged me saying, so I'm watching all of the Fallout, all of the Mission Impossible movies. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.